All right, welcome to the R. Bill Simmons podcast. We have an emergency pod breaking down Jeff Van Gundy and Jalen Rose being fired by ESPN. Massive shakeup in NBA media ties in with Bill Simmons, who brought Jalen along, and this is going to be fantastic to unpack all of what's going on. So I think we got to start number one here. Why is this happening? And why it's happening is because ESPN, the business is not doing so well right now. You have cord cutting is, I think it's 7% annually. So that means that a lot of people are cutting the cord. And essentially, nobody that is 20, that is moving out on their own, that is past college, they're not buying a subscription to the video bundle to get ESPN. And so if you think back to 2015 when cord cutting had just started, and before that, video subscribers kept growing year over year, we had about 100 million video subscribers in the United States. So 100 million people were paying for ESPN. Now, of course, not everybody was watching ESPN, but 100 million people were paying for the bundle that all has ESPN in it. As of today, it's about 75 million. And again, it's declining 7% a year. So ESPN has a lot of costs. They got the NFL. They're paying a lot of money for that. They're paying huge money for the NBA. And the NBA is out there saying they want three times the previous deal in terms of the annual payment. So ESPN, if they need and if they want NBA content, they're going to have to pay a lot more for that. So there's really just no way for ESPN to keep on paying these very high salaries for the NBA media. You also got to look at a couple things happening in Disney. So you've got broad cost cuts going on because Disney spent billions on streaming, hasn't made a profit. In fact, I think their peak streaming losses, they were at an annualized loss rate of $6 billion on streaming. That's a lot of money. Now, ESPN has ESPN Plus. That's not the big loser. It's Disney Plus and Hulu right now. But that gives you the idea that Disney, they're barely making any money right now. Now, of course, when they spend less on content and they spend less on marketing the streamer, they're going to make more money. But they need to cut down costs. This is a company-wide decision. They've said they're going to reduce costs by $5.5 billion. Okay? So that's massive. And where are they going to reduce costs? Yes, they're going to reduce it in streaming content for Disney+. They're also going to be reducing it across all their linear TV channels. And they need to, because they need to take down costs. Also, ESPN is being spun. They're not being spun out. Disney, under Bob Iger, who's the new CEO, he was the old CEO, but he's coming back. They are going to have ESPN as their own segment. So essentially now the company, when you look at the company's financials now, you can't actually remove, you don't know exactly what ESPN's doing. You will in a couple of quarters when they do the reconfiguring of their financials. That is very important to financial analysts looking at the Disney stock and saying, oh, I can put X valuation on Disney. I can say seven times ESPN's earnings is right. Then I take streaming and then I take whatever. So they're doing that. They want ESPN to look good, all right? When they, and again, they're not spinning it out, but when they put ESPN on its own, they want people to say, oh yeah, ESPN, they're a growth business. Because right now they're not a growth business. And we know that because ESPN is directly, it's the company that, or it's the part of Disney that generates the most of their linear networks. I'll read some financials for you guys. Last quarter, linear networks, $6.6 billion revenue, so that's a lot. Minus 7% year over year. Not good. Wall Street investors hate declines. Here's the big one. $1.8 billion operating income, down 35% year over year. What the fuck? I mean, this is insane. And ESPN called out. They said higher sports and programming costs and production costs, mainly NFL, college football, NBA, timing of an NFL step up. So regardless, basically, they have to take a look at their linear TV cost structure. They said this in the last earnings call that, quote, they have to take a hard look at the cost structure of the negative economic business that is linear TV right now. So ESPN's having a lot of that. Okay. Let's bring it to Jalen Rose specifically. Why is Jalen out? Well, Jalen, he hasn't been doing so hot on NBA coverage since Bill Simmons left. When they were in Countdown together, great chemistry, loved those two. They were doing those Grantland basketball hours. They were doing pods together. They were doing the NBA season previews, Bill and Jalen's previews. I mean, we all remember Jalen with the bat and Grantland. This was fantastic content. Great chemistry between those guys. Bill's been writing about Jalen as a media star since the mid-2000s, the Page 2. So Bill and Jalen together, fantastic. They were great together those 2 years on Countdown. But the problem was once Bill left, Jalen kind of got into parody mode of himself where he's got those bizarre glasses. He's got the strange hairline. Is he even giving good takes at all? I mean, what the hell is going on here? So I don't think Jalen was giving out a good NBA product for the show. And I think that's the big reason why they let him go. So that's unfortunate. Now, what can Jalen do in the future here? I think naturally you go, let's see him get back to Bill. I mean, at the least, bring Jalen into the ringer, have him do some pods, maybe start a podcast, although I think he's doing a podcast for the New York Post. But bring Jalen in, have some fun. Maybe Bill should go on his podcast and see what they can do together, because obviously that is such a great combo, and we should have that combo still. We didn't have that combo for a while. We can potentially have it again. So Jalen being out, it's the end of an era. I always say that the NBA Countdown of Jalen Rose, Bill Simmons, and Doug Collins, that trifecta together was a fucking great show, because Doug gave the coach perspective, Jalen gave the player perspective, and Bill Simmons, who we all know and love, he comes in, he's the basketball historian, he's written the book of basketball, he comes in with his fanhood, it's a light set, people making fun of him. That was hilarious at the NBA draft when the Celtics made those moves and he freaked out. And then Bill does have some hot takes and he brings in some wonky attitude. And you know what? We need that, because we missed that on this NBA draft. And everybody said the energy wasn't high and there wasn't great chemistry with the four-person panel. And that's totally true. Bill Simmons, his apex mountain, I think, in his career was that 2013 NBA draft being fantastic. So unfortunate for Jalen. Also, there's the Jacoby angle. That show, great podcast. I think people liked it. But again, it got kind of stale because they had to have takes on all sports every single day. That gets old after a while. So look to see what Jalen does. Look to see what Jacoby does. Maybe those two get reunited. Who knows? But ultimately, if I'm ESPN, Jalen wasn't giving me that great content. And especially because Jacoby's let go, Jalen let go as well. So a sad day for Bill Simmons fans, but maybe not, because Jalen can do other stuff with Bill later. Number two, Jeff Van Gundy being out. Why is Jeff Van Gundy being out big? Well, okay, he's the star of that finals broadcast. But here's the question. Did people actually like Jeff Van Gundy? And I'm going to say a lot of people didn't like him, because the guy's constantly bitching about refs. He's always going off topic. It's a close game, and he's talking about non-NBA stuff. Or he's complaining about a foul, about a flop, about a replay. It's like, man, just let us enjoy the game. I mean, some of this stuff was so annoying. And then you pair him with Mark Jackson, who has nothing of interest to say except his catchphrases, you know, mama, there goes that man. I mean, the first time it was fun. The second time it was still decent. I've heard that 197 times by now. I don't need to hear that again. So, you know, Mark Jackson hopefully is gone. And then the question is, who's going to replace him? And I think this is where ESPN's done a really nice job, where you have a bench now. They hire J.J. Redick. They hire RJ, Richard Jefferson. Those guys are doing a great job calling games. They're doing a great job in analysis on the daily shows, on First Take, on NBA, what's that one? The NBA Daily Show. I mean, those guys are good. They're doing good in the games. ESPN has the bench to now have the leverage to negotiate with Van Gundy and Rose and be like, look, guys, we got people waiting in the wings. So unless you accept a lower offer, then we're going with those guys. And Jalen and Van Gundy clearly, you know, played hardball, or ESPN really wanted to fire them, and now they're gone. Okay, so that happened. What does this signal to the rest of ESPN? This is also where ESPN wins, because this says there's no sacred cows at ESPN at all. We just fired our number one game analyst for the NBA Finals, only one of our most important sports and events that we host. I mean, frankly, the NBA Finals is the most important event that ESPN has been hosting, probably along with the college football playoffs, because they haven't had a Super Bowl. They will go to Super Bowl in the future, but they haven't had one. So that's massive, okay? So ESPN has to be thinking that when they send this out, that's going to help them in negotiations with all their other talent. Steve Young negotiating for his Monday Night Football deal, ESPN goes, hey, you were making $4 million a year. We'll pay you $1 million. And, oh, shit, you know, the talent is going to say, I don't want to make that little. But ultimately, that's still a good-paying job. So whether it's 4-1, whether it's $2 million to $750K, whether it's an ESPN anchor looking for $1 million and ESPN gives them $500K, you know, I don't know the exact salaries, but the ESPN message is that unless you're a moneymaker for us, be prepared to accept less in the negotiations or we may fire you. Guys like Stephen A. Smith, Scott Van Pelt, and the incoming Pat McAfee, those guys are revenue generators. They're not at risk, because what Stephen A. Smith does is he brings ratings to any show he goes on. He brings ratings to First Take. He was on Countdown, and he probably made more people watch that because people want to hear what he has to say. You talk about Scott Van Pelt. Scotty is bringing in solid ratings at midnight for ESPN. That's one of their top-rated shows in that coveted 18 to 49 male demo that advertisers love. So those guys are making several million, but they're not at risk because their contracts pay for themselves. The people, the replacement level sports center anchor, I mean, you talk about war wins over replacement in baseball. You know, a great player is 7+, all-stars maybe 5+, 5-7. A pretty mediocre player is like 1-2. So if you're a sports center anchor with a 1-2 war, like, you better be prepared to not make that much money or be laid off. And ESPN has the advantage of, where can you go? And there's not that many places to go that are going to pay that much. Can you go to Fox Sports? Maybe, but Fox Sports 1's not doing so hot. What sports do they have? Can you go to NBC? Well, I mean, for now you can't with basketball. Maybe you could if they get it. And then that's where I also want to talk about NBC. That's the final piece of this, okay? So big fucking deal on NBA rights package after, I think it's the 2025 season. So, you know, 25, 26, there's going to be a new rights deal signed. The NBA has come out. They've said, we want to get 3 times the annual amount of money for the NBA. So what does that mean? Well, it means that they're expecting ESPN and Warner Brothers Discovery, who owns TNT, to pay up significantly to their previous deals. Here's the problem with that. I just told you guys earlier in the show, cord cutting went from $100 million to cord cutting. The amount of ESPN subscribers went from $100 million to $75 million in about 7 years. If they sign a 10-year deal, what happens if cord cutting goes from $75 million to $50 million, the number of subscribers? Now you just lost significantly more subscribers. And the way that these economics work is that, you know, if I'm paying $100, $150 of the bundle, maybe $10 of that is allocated to ESPN. So the way that it works is me paying that to whatever video provider I have, whether it's Comcast, DirecTV, Charter Spectrum, Dish Network, whatever it is, YouTube TV. So I guess YouTube TV is a better example to use. So you're paying them, I think it's like $75 now. So out of that, probably $15 of that is allocated to Disney channels. So I pay YouTube TV $75 a month. YouTube TV, Google that owns it, pays Disney $15 a month, $20 a month for the suite of channels that is on YouTube TV. So that's how the economics work. So what typically has happened historically is without cord cutting, let's say ESPN is making, you know, 7 to 10% annual price increases. Well, they can afford 5 to 7 to 10% annual price increases in salaries of talent and in sports rights because they're making all that in revenue. Well, what happens when cord cutting is now 7%? That means that ESPN revenue is not growing anymore. So if ESPN revenue is not growing when it used to grow 10% annually, what that means is that you can't pay as much talent and you can't pay them nearly as much increases as before, especially if you're paying the sports rights, right? So let's say, so ESPN revenue is flat, let's call it, for the next few years. Then if ESPN has to pay the NBA an annual increase of like 7% a year, they have to make that up, that cost up, to get even only even earnings, neutral earnings. And so that's why you're seeing this big decrease right now. Okay, so let's go back to NBC. The dynamics of NBC putting NBA on broadcast TV are different than cable because broadcast TV is available in 125 or 130 million homes, right? Broadcast TV is available to everybody. So they have different economics where they don't rely as much because they have advertising revenue of these big games. They rely more on the big game advertising revenue than they do from the carriage fees that everybody is paying into ESPN. So NBC coming through, they're a legitimate bidder. And NBC, they're going to want Peacock. You know, what's a great way to grow Peacock, which is, you know, a laughable streamer at this point? Put NBA games on Peacock. So let's think about this. If you're NBC, now you sign a deal with the NBA. You sign a deal with the NBA. You put Sunday night NBA after Sunday night football in the schedule. That's great. And then what you do is you put all those games and you put playoff games on Peacock. They're putting an NFL playoff game on Peacock. You do that. All of a sudden, if you're a sports fan, you got to subscribe to Peacock because that's the only way to watch NFL playoff games. Now that's an easy way to watch NBA playoff games if you don't have the cable bundle. I mean, Adam Silver is being very smart in saying that, look, a big reason for the NBA ratings not being as hot as they used to be is because so much, 25 million fewer people have the ability to watch the games. We got to put these games. We like our product, and whether the product is great or not in the regular season, who knows? But we got to put this product with more eyeballs, especially young fans. So NBC is going to be in the bidding. Obviously, Warner Bros. Disc is going to be in the bidding. They have HBO Max. Now Max, they can do stuff. ESPN's in the bidding. Oh, who else is in the bidding? We got Apple with $100 billion of cash, at least, maybe a lot more than that. I haven't looked recently. They've got, I mean, and their iPhone, I mean, they make, Apple prints incredible amounts of money. I think they're worth $3 trillion as of today. You've got Amazon. They're looking to get into the mix. They just did the NFL deal for Thursday Night Football, spent $1 billion on that. They're looking for a Thursday night package, right? You could have Thursday night NBA and Sunday night NBA to follow the NFL. So with all this being said, what does ESPN need to do? They got to get a better broadcasting booth. They got to get better announcers. They got to get a better NBA countdown. Because everybody on Twitter has agreed. I've been chatting with you guys that listen to this. R. Bill Simmons agrees. Everybody agrees. The ESPN NBA product is significantly worse than the TNT product. Part of that is Barkley is a unicorn. He's amazing. He's awesome. Any show around Barkley is going to be great. But Ernie is also a better host than anybody at ESPN. He's better than Greeny for sure. The graphics package, much better at TNT, I think. The announcers, Kevin Harlan, fucking love that guy. Ian Eagle, of course, Brian Anderson. You have Mike Breen, who's great, and he is right up there with, I would say, Breen and Kevin Harlan are the two top NBA guys. But what about the analysts? I mean, Reggie Miller has gotten a lot of hate in his life, but I'd rather take Reggie Miller than I would Jeff Van Gundy. I'd rather take Reggie Miller than I would Mark Jackson. What's that guy? And Bill Simmons even said this. He loved, Jim Jackson. Jim Jackson with Ian Eagle was a great team. I loved that duo this postseason. Also, Greg Anthony's not bad either. So these guys are better announcers than what ESPN's got. That's why you elevate JJ and RJ. And to finish up the pod, let's get a prediction for what happens. So let's do this. Let's elevate JJ and RJ to the top team. Put those guys with Breen. That's going to be amazing. For NBA Countdown, now that Jalen's out, I mean, you could see, I don't want this to happen because I don't think she's that great, but you could potentially see Doris Burke on there. I think that would be the wrong direction. I think for NBA Countdown, look, like, JJ obviously would be great in NBA Countdown. He was great at the draft. We know this. But the problem there is that you really want him for the game. So I don't think JJ should be in Countdown, but I think JJ should do something, right? JJ should either be on Countdown or the game. I think the same thing for RJ, should be on Countdown or the game. If Perkins is on Countdown, I'm not that happy with that, but maybe they're thinking Perk is sort of a you know, Barkley-esque figure. I don't agree with that. I mean, is there a Zach Lowe potential for Countdown? I mean, Bill Simmons worked. Bill Simmons, surrounded by the right team, worked on Countdown. He can work on Bill Simmons worked on Countdown, Zach Lowe can work on Countdown. So I think that would be interesting. As for what happens elsewhere, Jalen and Bill reunite somehow, some way. I'd love for them to do video coverage together. Some sort of, that content would be fantastic. And then as for, you know, Jeff Van Gundy, I mean, I never thought the guy was that interesting. So, you know, maybe he's looking for a pod, you know. And look, the other angle here, and I think this could be what they end up doing, okay? Doc Rivers is out there. Doc Rivers is a free agent. So here's what you do. You throw Doc Rivers in to either Countdown or the big one. Then that gives you a little bit more time because you know that Doc Rivers eventually is going to go back to coaching, right? So that gives you another year of evaluating the talent. Okay, we'll put Doc Rivers in. Maybe we put JJ in sometimes. We put RJ in sometimes. Who does better? We mix it up. We kind of combine it together, see what's going on. You put Doc on a Countdown. That's an immediate home run. I mean, Doc Rivers, as he proved in his recent podcast with Bill, he's a great media guy. So you put them on Countdown, great. And then you refresh and you try more people out. So there's some potential here. So yeah, look for that. Look for JJ, look for RJ, and I would say also look for Doc Rivers being in the mix. And if I'm ESPN, because I have that conversation. I have that conversation with Bob Iger and Adam Silver. And Adam Silver, I think he goes to Bob Iger and he says, look, you got to improve your NBA coverage. Because while we love having you as a partner, your presentation and your talent, it's not as good as TNT's. So if there's a tiebreaker in terms of what network is getting what in the next rights deal, you know what? We're going to give that to TNT if you don't improve your coverage. And maybe that has lighted a fire under Bob Iger's ass to be like, all right, I got to get good coverage here. I got to kill two birds with one stone. I'll save a bunch of money getting out Van Gundy, getting out Jalen Rose, and I will get better coverage because I'll promote guys that are doing great work. So that's what I think. Any comments or questions or feedback, tweet at us. Go to the sub post I'll make on this and comment on that. And with all that being said, have a amazing July 4th weekend with your friends, family, and loved ones. And the R. Bill Simmons podcast will be with you again shortly. So Tribe is out for the day. Peace.